A call to order this regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for October 4th, 2022. First item of business is consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, meeting in person would present imminent risk to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Any objections?
I concur.
Hearing none, we will continue. Next item on the agenda is comments from the public. Amelia, any comments?
No hands raised.
All right. Let's move on to the monthly update, Michael.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So moving forward with our water treatment plant, sodium hypochlorite conversion, HDR is currently working on the 60% design based on the comments that we provide with them at their 30% level. For the recycled water disinfection project, the board had recently approved a contract with Dewberry Engineers for the design of the sodium hypochlorite conversion content chamber improvements. So we're going to hopefully get a kickoff meeting soon. And just as an update, I did request that Dewberry Engineers provide more seasoned project engineering in the design phases, and they had no problem with that. And at this time, they didn't foresee any additional contract amount needed to facilitate that. For Grandley's safety improvements, we have received the preliminary engineering report for the improvements. It's currently in the review phase. Marty, thank you for your comments. I've received comments from Marty and general manager, and waiting on a few more people to provide comments. And then I'll put those comments together, provide those to HDR so we can get the final plan done. Also, what we want to do before we put out the RFP for construction is perform a condition assessment on the four-bay structure itself. Our district engineer does have a structural engineer that can perform that inspection. We're going to come up with the time and a day to be able to shut water off and isolate that structure, and then be able to get in there and see how much wear and tear has occurred on the concrete, and just take a look at the structural condition itself before we move forward and design RFP. The preliminary engineering report that was provided by HDR provided an AACE classified construction cost range of $300,000 to $720,000, not including design cost. The district had previously envisioned, or I had originally estimated, $945,000 to complete the project, out of which $170,000 was allocated from RSB 170 funding. For our integrated water master plan, we have released an extended RFP deadline for the update of the 2010 integrated water master plan. We should receive RFP responses by November 3rd. I did talk to a couple other consulting firms, so I think we should get some more RFP responses, hopefully. Drainage. Lost Lake or Basin 5. On August 30th, Ron Greenfield and I met with residents on site to assess some of the issues regarding the upkeep of Lost Lake. We have performed some weed removal and have repaired the aeration system. We also received a quote from Solitude Lake Management for $9,200 to remove primrose all throughout the water body. RMA has agreed to keep the central fountain on at all times, helping to keep the center pond looking nicer, or clearing the middle at least from duckweed. We did provide goats to eat down some of the residual weeds in the area. And it was also asked which entities are responsible for the Basin 5 area. And doing a little research, it looks like the country club owns the actual parcel containing the drainage pond. And of course, the district is responsible for maintaining the drainage pond as part of our MS4. It's part of our stormwater system. And currently, there's an agreement for our RMA to provide for the fountain inside the drainage pond. So I think this is a, you know, something that we need to discuss. You know, do we want to remove the primrose, you know, at this time of year? Or do we want to wait till the spring where we might get more bang for our buck? You know, I leave that to the committee if they want to propose moving this forward to the board for an earlier removal. Do we have any comments from any of the committee members regarding that?
Marty?
Let me understand where this is. Is this on the perimeter or is this floating on the top?
It's inside. It's all throughout inside around the perimeter, inside the lake itself.
Just on the shore, right?
Yeah, on the shores. And I think it extends pretty far in. They're supposed to bring out some special machine. Do you know anything about it, Trey?
It's just one of those that just basically cuts everything up and extracts it.
Oh, they have a special cutting machine that they utilize to remove the primrose.
Who does?
Who is they?
Oh, it's Solitude Lake Management. We don't have any equipment like that.
Oh. You know, most of the time when you do a weed abatement is in the spring after they start growing up. Does this stuff naturally recede in the wintertime?
Maybe a little bit. We can, you know, I could go either way. You know, I'm comfortable with seeing, you know, how things progress during the winter and then maybe hit it in the spring.
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to cause any issues with, you know, us settling out sediment, and that's the actual intent of that.
Yeah, I don't know. My preference would do it in the spring, but it just seems like sometimes when you get a cold winter, those kinds of plants kind of die out or recede.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. You know, the last lake area is kind of, the upkeep has kind of been postponed from time to time. And we have given it a lot of attention. You know, people live next to Lost Lake, you know, they don't want to see a bunch of weeds and overgrown area. But, you know, that's honestly, it's my thought that some of that responsible or most of it for the land stuff probably resides with the country club. I mean, we did the weeds this time around, but I'm kind of leaning on, you know, discussing that with the country club that, you know, that's kind of their property.
Michael, there's a history to this. And I think we need to, there was an agreement going back when Lost Lake was really an awful place and it smelled, and there was an agreement between CSD, RMA, and the country club about cleaning it up and who was going to do what. And I think that maybe you ought to, I'll bet Rod Hart knows exactly what the agreement was, and you might get with him before you make any decisions on any of that.
Right, right. Well, I have seen an agreement that they maintain a fountain. There's an agreement for the fountain.
Yeah, but there was a lot of verbal stuff going around too.
Okay, gotcha.
And it really was a bad situation, and it's cleaned up some. And we want to keep it that way. As far as removing the weeds, I defer to your recommendation, because I'm not going to sit here and say I know anything about removing weeds and when the best time to do it is. So Sounds like you and Marty agree on the spring, and that's probably where we should go with it.
I mean, if it was like, you know, $1,000 or $500, is okay, let's do it now, let's get it done. But maybe there's a chance of some of that dying back. And if not, you know, lesson learned, and we remove it in spring. We want to continue to pay attention to Lost Lake because it is important, and it's part of our drainage process. And, you know, there's people that live next to it. So I'll start dabbling into those verbal agreements. So we'll move on from there.
I have a maintenance committee meet, RMA maintenance committee meeting on Monday. I will make it a topic of conversation so that we all are on the same page.
And there's some, I've also had some discussions with Rod Hart about, wow, you know, they bought the fountain, they've been maintaining the fountain. And it's like, if we're maintaining the drainage area, I see that's something that CSD could potentially take over. So they don't, you know, one less thing for them to have to do as far as the fountain.
Well, he will be happy to hear that, but let's yes. Put some thought into that.
Of course.
Much of course. Effort that is, and like the electric bill and so on and so forth, how much that runs. So,
yeah, of course.
Okay, very good.
For site development, Riverview, the developer is currently working on installing dry utilities for phase 1B. Unfortunately, we had to issue them a notice of violation due to the developer, which was their dry utilities contractor, Lupton. They made an illegal connection to our 2-inch blow-off connection to fill up their water trailer over a 3-day period. And so they've been submitted a fine for $1,500, $500 per day per event. It's pretty serious. And we told them they couldn't use it, and then the next day they used it again. So that's in alignment with you know, the risks that when we have someone connecting illegally, we don't get to monitor to see if there's a proper backflow to protect everybody in the system. So it's a big deal. So that's been issued, that letter's been written, and we move forward. With retreats, the district and the developer are still working on the various punch list items on the east, and including disinfecting water mains, which should have been done by now. We provided them our electrical comments for lift station 6B, and the water tie-in should be coming up at De La Cruz and Rio Rodeo Parkway, I think, potentially today. For Circle K, the contractors poured the gas station slab, as you can probably see as you drive by, and they're working on getting their approval for fire service. Marietta Gardens contractor continuing with block wall construction, and no update yet on Pet Hospital and Marietta PDF office. So that's my report. There was any questions.
So back up to Granley's, the preliminary engineering report. What does that consist of? Is that like a preliminary design on what we're recommending be done there, or what's
yes.
What's included in that? Is there any drawings?
There's very minimal drawings at this level. I wouldn't call it a 30%. I would say it's a, you know, like a preliminary design prior to 30%. They talk about what needs to be done. They do an environmental and a cultural check to see, you know, what kind of trouble we might be getting into when we start the project. What kind of
frogs are up there?
Yeah, yeah. And the long and the short is there wasn't anything significant, especially if we stay within the structure itself and don't, you know, build into the river or onto the shore, which there isn't any. We're not going to be adding anything other than replacing gates, adding a new roof on top of the structure. And so that's really it. So this is just a preliminary design. It's to give us a cost. The last piece is for us to do that condition assessment that Travis and I are going to work on getting that isolated so we can get our structural engineer in there to inspect the concrete.
Okay. Can I get a copy of that? Not that I'm going to
have. Oh, absolutely. Any, yeah.
Not that I'm going to have any comments. It's just more curiosity on my part. So.
Yeah, I've always kind of saddled Marty with that, but I'll get you a copy as well.
Marty, how do you feel about being saddled? Are you?
I'm happy to participate. I saw the report. Pleased to see that the cost may not be as big as we expected. What they're doing seemed appropriate to me.
Good. Any further questions of Michael on his report, Amelia?
I do have a hand raised from Collateral Damage.
All right, Mr. Collateral.
I was wondering about that fine for the developer taking the water. From what I was hearing from the person that originally complained about that, you know, your memo was dated September 28th or 29th. She was saying that continued for days on after that. And I was wondering if you were aware of that, or there was another fine or anything like that.
Oh, I think we caught them doing that. And then it did continue the next day. That's why we continued fining them. So yeah, we're aware.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to discussing the wooden bridge conveyance. I think we've been discussing the wooden bridge conveyance since the day I first got on the board, and we were wrapping it up 3 years ago, and it's for some reason it's still here. What's going on there, Mike?
Well, I'd like to get it transferred. I think it's been on Tom's to-do list for a couple of years now, and for whatever reason, it got lost. So, you know, I said, look, let's get it done. So I did a little bit of the research, and Randy, you probably know way more about this project than I do. Tom and I recently met with RMA to notify them of our intent to transfer back that property that was transferred to the district to help move the project forward at that time. And that it's been well overdue for us to transfer that back.
I thought we had done this a long time ago, so I'm glad to see that we're on it again. And I totally agree we should move this onto the board and get it done.
Yeah,
Marty?
What I'd like to do is have a resolution. We'll get with the attorneys to create a resolution to allow that transfer and to come up with a reasonable transfer agreement that's acceptable to RMA.
Sure. Yeah, I'm pleased that we're doing.
Okay. So I think that should serve as direction to move this to the next board meeting to authorize the general manager to proceed. Amelia, any questions or comments on that item?
I do have a hand raised, John Sullivan.
All right, John.
Amelia, do you have that document I forwarded to you early this morning?
Yeah, I have that document in my hand.
I sent the same document. I found it in our file yesterday, John. So I gave a copy to Mike and also Tom.
Okay, so that is the document that Tom couldn't seem to come up with to when they were talking about the CIA ditch through the area where the bridge is. The conveyance from Bank of America, co-trustee of the pension trust fund, to RMPI, that's that document. And it in the last three paragraphs, it discusses the flow of water and the easements associated with the transfer. So from the standpoint of CIA, we don't at this point have a problem with the conveyance as long as items 8, 9, 15, 18, 19, and 20 remain on title.
Okay, so noted. I think that the direction was for the general manager to get with RMA and adopt this, so that will be a part of the discussions. Tom, right?
Yes, and John, Amelia, did you write down those numbers that John just repeated or just read out? Are you talking about from the title search, John?
Yeah. Well, the transfer will need to be subject to the items 8, 9, 15, 18, 19, and 20, and any others that are pertinent and appropriate with a title. I'm assuming you'll get an updated title report on this before the, so that RMA would look at what it's agreeing to.
But the title report is not super, it looks like it was last time touched in 2014.
No, I think this one's more recent.
I think it's 20, that's a 2020. That's a 2020 guarantee.
So, John, can you explain what it is that you're trying to achieve here? Because I read that old document from the 70s, and I'm trying to put it together.
So, when the property gets conveyed, unless the title company, the buyers and sellers agree, all of these items will be, the property will be subject to Schedule B, taxes and assessments, liens of for utilities, and then it'll go on to include, you know, the 8 and 9, which are the CIA and the river, PG&E's easement for power lines, the old Granley ingress and egress road that Randy Janko is now the successor in interest to, the old Granley. That's, it's got two postings on here, one dated, it looks like it's a duplicate for page 45 and page 50. Then the easement number 15, which is the transfer and the easement that protects the CIA ditch for the water flow. The two RMA temporary rights. Number 18 is the yellow bridge. Number 19 is the path on the south that's part of the resource protection area, as is number 20, which is the agreement between RMPI and Sacramento County on the resource protection area. All those, they're taking the title of the bridge subject to all those conditions.
And is this the same thing that was done when the bridge was built, when the RMA conveyed the property to the district?
Well, I don't know what the title process was, but yeah, I'm sure PTF included all of these things. This is the title company's research on that property, and because it's almost like air rights, because it, you know, it's just, it's a parcel that wasn't the standalone parcel. It was created by the CSD out of the country club and, gosh, I think probably the country club and RMA land. No, it would have been, yeah, it would have been the country club property. And it may be, have touched on the RMA easement for that road. Randy, do you know if that's an easement or fee? I don't. The road that runs behind, you know, behind the lift station there.
Yeah, I do not know.
I don't either. Somebody should diagram that and attach it to the title report.
So, John, so, I want to be really thorough and make sure that we do this correctly. Is there any way that you could write out exactly what you're looking for and then refer it back to this title report?
Let me ask you this, John. We're just transferring this property back as it was transferred to us, and these easements have existed and are part go along with the transfer of the property. Isn't it just as easy as saying that the new agreement should recognize all of the existing easements that have been transferred back over time?
Right.
You pointed out a couple that you're interested in, but these easements exist, and RMA is going to take transfer of this property with all of these easements in place. That's the proper way to do it, I would think.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so all we'll need is Ramos to pull a new title report and make sure that everybody signs off of what's going to be on the what's going to be included in the final title insurance policy.
Yeah, we'll definitely convey those concerns to the attorney. But it's, I'm not an attorney myself, but my assumption would be when it transfers title again, none of these things are going to be removed. You probably have to work really hard to get them removed, but we'll make sure.
That's a good point, Mike. These are probably automatically transfer, and if something didn't transfer, that would be a big deal. So I'm sure you're right. Yeah. Okay. So, Tom, you understand what we're saying there, and we're all good to go?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Let's move on to the Rio Oso project status then.
Okay. So we are going to be requesting that the Improvement Committee provide a recommendation that the board adopt a resolution at the next board meeting, finding that an emergency exists in connection with their Rio Oso pressure station, authorizing the general manager to approve an emergency contract with Kirby Pump to perform a pump replacement for $37,800 and to approve a contract with Prodigy Electric for a total of $53,146 for procurement and replacement of variable frequency drives for the Rio Oso pressure station, and to allow a 15% contingency for this pump replacement, VFD replacement, for the total emergency expenditure of $104,588. So basically, we have been waiting for these pump parts in order to do our pump swap that we have already purchased the pumps for. And we finally got those in, and we're starting to plan out when we're going to do a pump swap. And we had a pump station failure on the 15th. This is an all hands on deck, 2 a.m. deal with Travis coming out with both Kirby Pump and Prodigy Electric to save the day. Fortunately, we did an automatic transfer was taken to pump number two. Pump number one had failed, and pump number two is like that pump's on its last leg, and it just sounds horrible, and we don't trust it as far as we can throw it. Fortunately, it ran and operated long enough to maintain pressure for the 800 people that it provides pressure for. So after inspection of pump number one, the one that failed, the pump was okay. So we went to the panel, and it looked like the VFD had potentially failed. We were able to re-energize the panel, restart the VFD, and put that pump back in operation. This is it's troubling because if the VFD for our one, I would call it good pump or halfway decent pump, is potentially failing, that really compromises the 800 people that would receive pressure. So we immediately went out to try to get another VFD, and there was a possibility of obtaining one VFD for that replacement out of Southern California within the week. So we went ahead and Tom signed the PO for us to be able to get that VFD on the way. Unfortunately, it was found that that VFD was provided to someone else and it wasn't available. So that put us in a predicament. Because VFDs, these potential particular VFDs are long 20-week out procurement, the only way to re-add redundancy or to add a little bit of redundancy back would be to move forward with the pump swap. So if we, for some reason, there was an issue with VFD number one, when it switched over to number two, that we'd have a pump that, you know, a brand new pump that we can trust. And so we would like to schedule that emergency pump replacement just to gain back some of that redundancy while we await the VFDs that we already have one ordered. We'll order a second one. And allowing this to be the emergency project that it is will assist us in our procurement process to A, schedule those pumps to be swapped out like right away, and B, allow us to procure our second VFD and get it coming. There's still a chance that we might be able to, there's another lead on getting a VFD sooner than 20 weeks, but I'm not gonna bet the farm on that. So that's kind of the status of that pump station. I imagine there should be some questions at this point.
I don't have any hands raised.
Go ahead.
No hands raised.
Oh, no hands raised. Marty, anything?
This contract amount for $104,000, is that just a piece of the total project, or is there more to come?
Okay, so that covers both VFDs and the pump replacement work, which part of the pump replacement work isn't just swapping the pumps out. They have to, because the pump sizes are a little larger, we have to add additional pump foundation, and we have to modify the old building, just doing basic modifications, nothing big, but we have to basically add a little lean-to so that those pumps don't get wet. Eventually, after we're what I would call in a safe operating zone, the pumps in, the next step would be to do a small pump study with our district engineer to evaluate what configuration we want to have moving forward. And some of the things that we're going to take a look at is adding a jockey pump that will work primarily during low flow times, be more efficient, provide us more redundancy. And then we'll take a look at potentially adding the hydropneumatic tank back in. If it makes sense, that hydropneumatic tank was removed by prior administration. I haven't exactly found out exactly why. They replaced the hydropneumatic tank with VFDs, but even with the VFDs, it does kind of put more of a pressure load on the system than if you had a hydropneumatic tank. So we'll take a look at that, take a look at the jockey pump configuration, and then eventually we'll have a new building for those pumps to replace the old building. But I don't want to design a building until I know what configuration we're going to have first. But the first thing, Marty, to answer your question, is this 104,588, that's including a 15% contingency. That gets us safe. And then we start looking at the future in the next phase. And this has been budgeted for in our capital improvement program.
Were there some money spent prior to this? There must have been.
Yeah, to procure the pumps that was spent last fiscal year.
We bought some pumps and some couplers replace some old cracking intermediator, you know, pieces between the pumps and the other side of the valves.
So it kind of looks to me like the amount we had in the CIP was probably adequate. Is that your opinion?
That's my opinion.
Okay, great. So I'm agreeable to this emergency expenditure. But
I am too, Mark. Go ahead.
But it's not for us to decide. It's going to go to the board to approve it, correct?
Correct. And there'll have to be an emergency resolution similar to what we did with Lake Levin.
Okay.
So the committee is recommending that the board adopt a resolution for this emergency project, and I agree with that. Part of this project is going to be pumping around this pump station when we do the work, isn't it? Is that a major deal?
No. And we're going to replace one pump at a time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, make sure that pumps, you know, everything's great, and then we'll move and do the other pump replacement.
Gotcha. Okay. Any comments?
Yes, I will put this on the agenda for the October 19th meeting, and I do have a hand raised, Gail Bullen.
All right. Go ahead, Gail.
Early on when Mike, you started talking about the Rio Osa tank, you said that you would have to shut off water for a day for the residents. Is that still going to happen, or is it not because of the phased way you're going to do one pump at a time?
Yeah, we will not have to shut down water.
We shouldn't have to, because we're not replacing the isolation valves like we wanted to. So with us doing one pump at a time, we're going to do one pump, let it run for a day or two to make sure that everything's good, and then we'll move back to the second pump. So there should not be, unless there's an unforeseen circumstances, but there's a 95% chance there should be no water interruption during this project the way we have it planned out.
That's Travis Bohannon, the chief plant operator, by the way.
Okay, anything else on that item?
No more hands raised.
Great. Let's move on to the update on the Lake 11 project.
Okay, so as you know, the board approved the emergency contract for Lake 11. The LUN was issued notice to proceed on the 23rd. They broke ground yesterday. And they've made a lot of progress. I think they've got down to about 20 feet and at the discharge manhole. So far it looks really good. Not a lot of groundwater was discovered. So that was actually really good. We're working with the country club on, unfortunately we had to close normal access to the other holes. We did provide a little gravel path on Karsten Drive, and I believe the golf course has been rerouting people so they can get to, I believe, all of their holes. Is that correct, Tom?
No, they're closing 9, 10, and 11. So they're going out of Karsten Drive after the 8 green to the 12 tee box side of the road to go down the parkway.
So we're hoping that, you know, we can allow the one-day access past the construction site on the 14th. A lot of that's going to depend on what we find as we dig and how quickly the project gets completed. But it's going to be kind of a day-to-day thing. Although right now it looks pretty good because they're not finding a lot of groundwater. So that will, and there's also been a design retrofit provided by Domenichelli and Associates, which will also help speed up the project. So that's where we're at.
All right. So as they went down 20 feet, did they just glory hole it, or are they using some kind of shoring system?
Well, they're going to use box shoring to do the box to shoring. Get people down there and do the work. Yeah, it's 12 by 12.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we need to, just a reminder, this is Tom, we need to continue to report back to the board monthly on the status of these emergency designated projects. So this will, again, it will be an informational item at the board meeting.
Yeah, I'm hoping at the board meeting we'll be very close to substantial completion.
Yep.
Very good. Marty, anything on this?
Now, do we have some sort of construction inspector out there?
Yeah, we do. We use our same inspection team. I have a team of two retired annuitants. Mm-hmm. And actually one contract guy, one retired annuitant, and then our own utility supervisor, and then I stopped by as well. So it's
okay.
And then we're also going to have some we're hiring young doll to do some compaction testing.
Okay. Great.
I don't have anything further on this item.
I have a hand raised, Randy.
All right.
John Sullivan.
How many days is it anticipated that the golf course will be closed for those three holes?
Well, best case scenario, 1 week. Worst case scenario, if we're finding a lot of groundwater and a lot of, you know, unexpected items in the pit and in the trench, could be up to 3 weeks. But it looks favorable that we might hit that week and a half, where we can allow access.
Okay, so they're aerating the golf course now, I guess.
Right.
This week, so possibly only a few days into next week.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Congrats on putting that together and getting that done as quickly as you have, Michael. So
thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
We are on to director and staff comments. Staff, anything, any comments, suggestions?
I have nothing.
Marty, any comments or suggestions?
I have nothing to add.
Yeah. Very good. I don't have anything to add either. So that concludes the meeting. We are adjourned. Everyone have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.